Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 5 of Podcast Lost in Space. I know I promised that we're going to be on full up, but Ryan's still driving currently to get here, and he doesn't want to call in while he's driving. But he'll join us in a little bit, in theory. So once again, I'm Alexander. All of this is my crazy thing. I'm getting lazy about these intros. And we've got some faces we haven't seen in a little bit, but we'll start with Alyssa, because she's on the left.
Hey, I'm Alyssa. I'm Alexander's sister. Let's see. Are we talking about our week yet?
Not yet.
Okay. No, yeah, that's me. I, too, am getting lazy about it. I'm sick of talking about myself.
I'll show you how it's done. Hi, I'm Doc. If the website was a horror movie, I'm the guy who dies first so that everyone knows that there's a monster out there and be like, oh my god, where's Doc? Well, it doesn't really matter. He didn't really provide anything to the plot anyway. Okay, let's move on. And then also, in more earlier news, I am also the most popular writer on the site because I was looking at the traffic and my article that I posted most recently generated the most traffic that the website has ever seen.
So, I forgot to email Sunny.
Suck it, everyone who's not me.
Alright, and then Seneca?
Hi, I'm Seneca. I don't know what I am. I'm the blog matron or mistress, whatever you want to go with. I'm sort of second in command, I guess. I don't know. Alexander comes to me and talks a lot. Yeah?
No, the dog's barking in the corner.
I was going to say, I'm fighting for that second in command, then.
And I'm just here.
I'm okay with just being here. I didn't plan on that.
So before we get into how our weeks work, because I know Alyssa's got a laundry list. According to statistics my dad sent me, so we'll see how those go. We are now in the 10% of all podcasts because 90% of podcasts don't make it past episode 4. Apparently.
Oh, cool.
So we are now
we're on the right track.
Yeah, we're now in the top 10.
And we're on iTunes.
We're on iTunes.
We are on
it. You can find us on iTunes, Podcast Lost in Space. We finally did that.
Mm-hmm.
It took 2 minutes, but I also didn't have to install iTunes because Newman did it for me. All right, Alyssa, how was your week?
So, it's homecoming week, so that's super fun. We actually just had our homecoming game yesterday, and it was an amazing game. It was very intense, and we almost didn't win, but we did because we're the Bison. We always win. Knock on wood. Started off super great, doing a lot of things with my sorority since this homecoming week and our pair up with Sigma Nu. They're our homecoming date. And then Thursday kind of fell to shit. Found out my wallet was stolen and somebody was trying to use all my cards, well, all 2 cards that I have, but cards on like vending machines and then trying to buy something on Amtrak, like the trains. Dealing with that, I didn't have my license, but I found out in Washington State, you don't need to be present to get a new get a new license after you lost it. Mm-hmm. So I was really happy because I have no form of actual, like, government ID at the moment. So that's super great. That's kind of subsided, and now I need to, like, go back and see. I had to file, like, a police report and everything. And then, as you can tell, I'm in a different room. I've had some issues with roommate stuff. We had to move out.
Just a bit of drama.
Yes, we were advised to move out, so that's been super stressful, but I'm getting to know the campus police very well, I guess is an up, and then Friday, I kind of chilled, because Thursday night, I was very stressful. Super cool, though, ESPN, On the Road is here, so Friday we got, because I'm a communications student, our program and ESPN set up a meet and greet, so I got to meet some of the anchors that do On the Road, which was very cool. And then yesterday, homecoming football game, which was really awesome. I got to cover my first game as a photographer, so I got to be on the field and Marcus Williams was there. He plays for the Jets, and he's a former Bison football player. So I actually got to talk to him quite a bit and hang out with him on the sideline, which was really cool. take pictures. I was actually, instead of for our school newspaper, I was shooting for Bison Illustrated. So hopefully they'll like my stuff because they're kind of a slightly big publication or magazine here. And then, like I said, we won, which was really cool. And then Saturday night was my formal for sorority, which was super, super fun. Very nice, like, release after, like, a very long couple of days and just having fun and everything. And then today is homework and study day because I have another art history test, which will be fun.
So real quick, if you guys are wondering, I'm at my parents' house taking care of these things. So you'll see me turning my head off to the side a whole bunch or getting attacked by white fluffy balls or hearing wolf dogs barking in the background.
It's or if you're listening to iTunes, then he is holding up a dog.
Yeah, if you listen to the audio version, none of this.
Well, to an iTunes podcast.
It's so, a very cute little fluffy dog. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yes,
thank you very much.
If you listen to the audio version and you want to see it, we have this up on YouTube. You can watch it there.
Mm-hmm. There's options. All right.
Doc, how was your week?
My week was good. I got my article posted, so it was fun watching the traffic go to that. I actually had a bunch of people start hitting me up asking for lifting advice, essentially just based off of that article. And I think the reason why traffic was so big to that article was the fact that I actually don't talk about lifting all that much. When everyone knows that's like, I am a lifter, I've done it for years, and that's something that I do as a big priority in my life. And they're like, oh, Doc's finally talking about lifting. Let's see what he has to say. And yeah, everyone's been telling me that they like the article, and it's been motivating me to do more writing. So I'm looking forward to post more articles down the line. This weekend, just hung out with friends, got to went out and hung out at some gay bars in Seattle. As a straight man, going to gay bars is still really fun, mainly because their drinks are cheap and strong, which is a necessity if you're going out to a bar. And then also everyone's super nice, and if you're looking to meet ladies at gay bars, it's surprisingly effective out of the fact that it's like they like you a bit more. They're like, oh, he's open-minded, he's nice, he's very comfortable with just hanging out with people, and he's not worried about anything.
It tends to be, I've heard from people, they feel safer. Mm-hmm. Ladies tend to feel safer at gay bars.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's actually been comparisons in multiple TV shows about women at gay bars and Easy Prey, just noting, by the way.
Okay. Well, I don't go with that kind of motivation.
Okay. I'm just saying, because there are apparently men who go to gay bars to get, like, easier because they're expecting that you are of a certain preference. So, mm-hmm.
As in, like,
stupid,
they let their guard down or anything.
Yeah,
like,
which is stupid, but...
I just go because the people that I meet there are way less boring than people that I meet at other bars.
Which is true.
Yeah, I am actually able to carry a conversation with these people. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I go to other bars, I feel like... Everyone has their own kind of groups that they still stay in when they go to a straight bar or anything like that. At a gay bar, you see people just jump from group to group, talk to people, intro, just everyone's talking with each other. Yeah. There's no exclusivity among groups. Mm-hmm. Everyone jumps in and hangs out. And that's what's really cool is that everyone's super open and fighting.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was out really late that night just hanging out. But then yesterday... And my buddy Michael come over. We knocked out Outlast, which is a great horror video game. So anyone looking to have a great horror experience coming up for Halloween or anything like that, really recommend Outlast. First person, terrifying game. Like I just can't recommend it enough. So that was interesting. But oddly enough, the highlight of my weekend happened about 20 minutes ago, just before we started the podcast, out of the fact that I love terrible movies, like just like awful comedies, awful horror movies, whatever. It's like I recognize they're bad. I wrote and directed a awful movie myself, so Mega Mormon, check it out on YouTube. But they have and real quick, does anyone know the Tremors franchise here?
No.
The Tremors movies? No. The first movie with Kevin Bacon, K-Bakes? No one knows Tremors.
Nope.
All right. First of all, go see Tremors because Tremors 5 is on Netflix. And it was only released, like, a week ago on DVD. So I am pumped to check out Tremors 5 on Netflix as soon as this podcast is over. And it stars Michael Gross and Jamie Kennedy as the protagonist in Africa, I think. I didn't really read the synopsis, but strongly recommend that everyone get into the Tremors film series because Kevin Bacon is in the first one, and he's amazing, and it's a good movie. It's tons of fun.
Cool.
No one wants to add on to that? No? Everyone's just like, yeah, we get it. Doc really likes Kevin Bacon for some reason.
Yeah. All right, Seneca. Well, you talk about how your week was. I've got two dogs whining at me, so I'll be right back.
Yeah, go for it. I've had a pretty, not bad, but intense week. I've been finishing up like the base preparations to apply to graduate schools because I'm trying to eventually get a PhD in psychology, clinical or counseling. And so without super going into that, like I had a GRE, which is a 4 to 5 hour test on Friday. I had a friend text me at, later in the evening, Thursday, before my test of, by the way, my dog is sick, her family dog. And she ended up coming over for the weekend, but that was just a whole other thing to add to my weekend. But I got to see her, which was awesome. And this Friday, I officially completed my first full week at my new job that I've kind of been mentioning throughout the podcast of, like, I have this job, and it's amazing. And it's, frankly, I think it's the most fulfilling and most pertinent job that I could get at this current education level, because I currently have a bachelor's degree in psychology. It's a bachelor's of science and a bachelor's of arts in Chinese language. But, you know, that's not much in the psychology world. So it's going great. I love what I'm doing so far, and it's amazing. It's been a very topsy-turvy week. It's just been very, yay, I'm getting stuff done. Oh, gosh, I have so much to do. Oh, there's another thing to add onto the list. It's been a week. It's been a good week. It's just been a week.
I can think of a worse scenario of someone to text you something, like, during your GRE. The worst scenario is like, hey, by the way, the actresses of Rizzoli and Isles are hanging out with everybody and buying everyone smoothies. You should be over here. Where are you? Yeah. And then you'd be like, oh, well, no, I'm taking my GRE for the next 4 hours.
You can't use your phone during the GRE. And the best part is, actually, I got out of the GRE and I had several text messages from friends of, like, so the friend who came over for the weekend because she was going through an emotional time about her dog, she came over, and that was great, but, you know, it was like, okay, you're asking me questions that I'm at a testing center, and you might be on the road now, so I'm going to answer these as quick as I can. And then I was balancing. We did Hot Pot on Friday with my friend who came to visit and then a bunch of other people. And so, like, balancing that and trying to work out car arrangements while she's in town, because I live downtown in the city where I live, so it can be a little interesting with parking, especially on the weekend, because I'm really close to the farmer's market, so, of course, there's no parking ever during the weekends. But it was great. It was a really good time. It was kind of crazy. Right after this podcast, I get to look at more graduate schools, and I'm doing the formal pick of where I'm going to apply to, a.k.a. the puppy pick is what I call it. So,
do you kind of know where you want to go?
Well, so I have a list of schools and programs that I'm interested in, and I've looked at the programs and been like, this is a great program. I am interested in this program. But so part of the reason why I call it the puppy pick is because I feel like as an applicant, you're a puppy where you have to be like, look, I fit exactly what you want. Please like me. Please like me. Because you... Like, I'm looking at faculty right now who are accepting new students, and they have to pick you. Like, you have to clear the hurdles with the committee who says, yes, these are students that we will accept. And then they kind of send it off to the professors, from what I understand. And the professors are part of the selection process where they have to like you. Your interests have to be kind of similar to theirs, and so it's the puppy pick. And I'm the puppy pick. I'm the puppy hoping to be picked. Mm-hmm. So right now I have a big list of schools that I really like the programs, but I'm looking and seeing what faculty is available this year, because different faculty is available each year depending on if they have time to add another undergraduate to their workload, because it is a lot of work. And I'm seeing who's available and what programs I'll actually be applying to based on the program itself and the professors.
Makes sense.
You're just figuring that out. You're so slow. I mean, I already know what school I'm going to, you know, apply to and everything.
Yeah, and how many schools are you applying to, and which program is it?
Yeah, teaching program. Master's of Education.
Well, it's not bad. It's just I'm applying to master's and PhDs. So there's like the two.
Oh, no,
and
I'll
then,
do all this for the PhD later.
It's mayhem, but it's mayhem that's worth it, because if I get picked and I get into a program that I really love, like, it'll be worth it. It's just October and November are busy.
Great.
So, yeah. But yeah, so that was my week.
Cool. Guess that leaves me.
Yeah.
I timed that well. Dogs aren't barking at me. My week's more or less super chill. I mean, I'm working with this nannying job and going to school at Bellevue College, which is a joke, especially now that I have a four-year degree. 100 and 200 level courses are quite literally a joke for me. I had a macro test. I was kind of worried about it. It was 18 questions long, 10 of which were multiple choice, one of which was an essay response question.
I hate you.
Right? And I have a 3-4 page paper that I'm trying to finish, that I'm going to try to finish like Monday, even though it's due in 2 weeks for my other class. And then I'm basically not going to have homework from that class for 2 weeks. It's weird because I'm being a good student. But also, I'm sore because I just went, I have a friend we do who does this, I don't know, we didn't get to actually play the game, but he calls it Blade Ball. And it's buffering stuff, so we're hitting each other with foam swords. And it sounds like there's some components of rugby or something in there. But we were only had like 4 people, so I got to do some boffer sword fighting.
Nice.
Turns out all my time running around as a Roman legionnaire and playing with swords irresponsibly and martial arts taught me that I can actually kind of fight with swords in a weird way. I'd still get killed pretty quick by somebody properly trained, but...
Yeah, but martial arts, it translates to... when you're athletic in one particular thing, it's really neat on how it's able to transfer and help you out in another. When I started doing martial arts, all my experience in, like, just my natural athletics of, you know, lifting all the time, playing golf, baseball, football, like, doing all these sports, when I translated over to doing, like, taekwondo, the instructor was like, a guy your size shouldn't, like, be kicking as hard as you are. Like, the fact that you're kicking with your tree trunk legs is really impressive. So, and he's like, did you do any of this beforehand? I was like, no, not at all. I just had good hip control from constantly swinging golf clubs and bats.
Yeah, and I do ballroom dance as well, and you get a lot of bleed over, and there's so much of it is just your, I think the word is kinesiology? It's the sense of where your body... No, it's the sense of where your body is in space.
I think kinesiology.
No, kinesiology is a study of...
Yeah, because ology is the study of...
Yeah.
Kinesthetics.
Kinesthetics.
But, having that understanding, and they're always, like, really impressed, because I've done a little bits of dance and stuff here and there. They're like, so how much do you know? I'm like, well, I mean, I know a little bit, but I'm still a beginner. And they were like, oh, that's really funny, because, you know, you get the people who know a little bit more than me, but haven't done, like, a black belt course. And they're like, well, I know a lot, but having been a black belt, I'm like, I don't know shit. I don't care how much I know. I just know I don't know shit. Mm-hmm. And they're always like, oh, cool, we like it when our student is like, yeah, I mean, I have no idea. There's some things in dance that are really funny because they get crossed with my mixed martial arts training. Because we're supposed to stand in certain ways, and I'm like, but that's not, it's the complete opposite of what I would do. Or, you know, move my body in a way, and I'm like, but I need to move my whole body with it.
But
and,
it's so different.
Yeah. It's just a weird little, sorry, Ryan's messaging me on the side. He's like, I'm home. I'm like, get on. He's like, let me get to my apartment. I'm like, then you're not home.
Exactly. His silence is key to the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, if he comes in pretty soon as a necessary
he's
aspect,
join us
you know.
In a second.
Absolutely. Tried to pretend that Ryan was here. It's like, Ryan's here, but his mic's not working. And everyone would be like, that's believable.
Yeah, it'd be nice, because, you know, when his mic is working, he's torturing us with popping and crackling sounds.
Yeah. Oh, it's
type
the
noises.
Worst. But anyway.
It's a horrible part. Watch him join now.
It's like a potato chip in the middle of like a lecture.
Hey!
Hey!
And we got Ryan.
Oh, I guess my video is on.
Yep. Make sure you put on headphones.
Hold on, let me go grab.
He apparently decided he was like,
well, that was Ryan Newman, everybody.
His brief interlude.
Oh, and there's those cracking poppy songs.
Because Ryan just likes to set off fireworks in his living room during hockey. Yeah. He's so excited.
Continually.
Ew.
Okay.
All right, so how are we going to help out people this week?
Well, first, we just got him here just in time. Ryan, how was your week?
Fine. Had my apartment almost broken into. All my sports teams lost.
Yeah, this is an interesting story. I really want to go into this breaking in story because we talked about it a little bit a couple days ago.
Okay, so what happened was, so my routine is I go to work, I come home, I nap, and then I stay up all night. I don't know why. I'm tired after work. It's a problem. But so I come home and I nap, and sometimes I lock my door, or I lock my door when I leave, I lock my door when I'm sleeping, but if I'm here, like, I'm here to observe and watch. So I fall asleep, and I wake up, and I'm just laying in my bedroom, and all of a sudden you hear a knock on my door. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I don't know anyone in this city who would be coming over. So like, I getting up out of my room, like out of my bed, and all of a sudden I hear my door open. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I like yelped because it was before I ran to my corner. I was like, hey, who? Like, hello, who's there? And all of a sudden I hear a woman's voice like, sorry, slams the door and then like runs down the stairs next to my apartment.
Oh, huh.
So now he specified it as breaking into the apartment. Now, how do you know she didn't just get the wrong door or was confused or anything? That like, what made you think break in?
That's major also fear. A possibility. The fact that I live in a downtown city.
Yeah, yeah. Let's loop back here. You live in downtown San Diego, and yet you leave your door unlocked.
When I'm home.
But you were sleeping.
Oh, I was.
Yeah. Sleeping. Was your door unlocked then, or did she like pick the lock? Do you think she picked the lock? I don't know. Did she?
No, it's not possible. We have these fobs. So you need a fob to get anywhere. You need a fob to get into the building, to use the elevator, to get into your rooms. It's one key for everything. So I felt pretty secure.
Okay.
So I'm thinking it is someone that just had the wrong apartment. It was like 9 o'clock at night, so maybe they were drunk and they were 282 instead of 182.
Drunk at 9? That's pretty early.
I mean, it's one of my big fears when I go to visit a friend. I'm always like, shit, is this the right apartment that I'm knocking on?
That's true.
Now, the walking in part, you know, whatever. But
well, and that's just it. It's like, and Ryan, if this was a break-in scenario, do you feel confident in defending your place, like, as you are? Do you have any sort of, like,
weapon?
Are you able to at least assert yourself as a dominant presence and, like, intimidate them out of there? I'm not saying that you should fight this person or attack them, but it's like, are you prepared for a break-in scenario if your door is unlocked?
Oh, no, I'd probably be killed.
Then why do you leave your door unlocked?
we need a human, a bodyguard.
I'm also coming from a place where our door, last year at our house, our door was always unlocked because it was the hangout spot for all of our friends.
Yeah.
So one way or another, our back door actually never did lock because our landlord just said, yeah, it doesn't lock. You're okay.
Huh.
I mean, he was in small-ass town Oregon, so.
I'd say Forest Grove is a lot more sketchier than San Diego.
And that's the thing. Like, small towns can be sketchier than big cities. It all depends on your location and those who are living around you. So you can't make assumptions based on that.
Exactly, because I've known of break-ins that have happened to people in North Bend, same area that Alex is in right now, and when living in Seattle, I've had no break-ins into my apartments, but I've had several break-ins into my car, and when it comes to breaking into my apartment, I'm actually like even though I'm a big guy and I should be able to handle myself in a situation like that, martial art experience, whatever, I still think of that as like a very big possibility. Mm-hmm. So I always lock my door. I'm always prepared. If I hear a bump that makes me slightly uncomfortable at like 11 p.m. as I'm trying to go to bed, I'll get up and check it out. My home defense is an authentic MLB Louisville Slugger baseball bat. So that way I'm not going to accidentally harm somebody with a gun or anything like that. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different topic in general.
Yes, your baseball bat is way safer than a gun.
Yes.
I was thinking about going and getting a taser.
No.
You'd end up tasing yourself.
Yeah. I feel like you would either tase yourself or you would want to play with it with friends.
I was going to show you what I carry, but my pocket knife fell apart.
That's effective.
See, you can still kill someone with that, though.
I can kill myself. I can cut myself up pretty bad, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I carry a pocket knife with me whenever I go out, but it's actually more of kind of like a tool purpose.
Yeah, mainly that's mostly work. What it's for.
Yeah, I used to work inventory and everything, so cutting open boxes, it was always nice to have my own personalized knife. I think of, like, oh, there may come a day where it's, like, it's good to have something, like, but it's not specifically there to be a weapon against somebody or defend myself. Yeah. It's there at
school. I guess, Doc, you and me both as people with actually quite a lot of martial arts training and weapon experience, none of the stuff we're talking, like, you know, I have a knife that's in my backpack, and I need to throw this one out and get a new one because I've lost all the screws. But like the best answer in any situation as somebody with training is run the fuck away or de-escalate with talking. You know, like I have swords, and if I hear a bump in the night and I'm alone, I'll grab a sword without thinking about, you know, just kind of like, but it's not with the intention of, oh, if there's somebody in here and he has a gun, I'm going to hit him with a sword. It's, you know, just in case something happens and it goes really bad, I'd rather have a weapon than not, but it's not, I'm going to go be a hero with the weapon and beat up the bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Call the police, people.
Yeah.
Because as somebody with training, you get it beat into your head a lot more quickly than anybody without training, that you are not invincible and you will get fucked up.
See, living in dorms / having my wallet stolen, I am locking my door from now on because I might have had it stolen from my room. I don't really remember the last time I had it. Anyway, moving on. Well, not moving on, but lock your door because a couple times we have had reports of drunk people wandering into the wrong room and scaring people. And
Yeah.
So I've started. And my new doors don't even, I don't know how to unlock them.
You just automatically
can't even
lock?
Get my key out. So I'm like, okay.
So wait, you got new doors and your key's just always in it?
No. I'm in a new dorm room. I didn't even miss that. But and then my keys, like I have to like play with it for like 2 minutes to get it out because it just doesn't come out easily.
She's bad at doors.
Yes, I am.
Are you door impaired? Are you door impaired like me?
I really am.
Yes.
Wait, did you tell the story of what happened this week?
Yeah.
Kind
of. I'll just talk to you afterwards.
The part that she could tell.
Yeah, as much as I can. But, yeah.
Ryan, where are you up to today that you're not showing us your video?
Oh, I just came back from a soccer game where I had to leave because I was about to pass out from heat exhaustion.
Oh.
Yeah, it's 105 here.
Jesus Christ.
At least you're taking care of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
It's 80 degrees in Fargo, North Dakota in October.
It's like 60, 65 here.
What the heck?
See, when I moved here, I didn't sign up for this weather. Everyone was like, oh, yeah, it's like 70 year-round. Not 105.
Who told you it's 70 year-round in San Diego?
Somebody lied to you.
San Diego's the closest you can be to being in Mexico without it actually being Mexico.
That's a pretty good way to put it.
I don't know. I was told maybe when it's hot, it's 80. When it's cool, it's 60.
You know where that is?
In the winter?
That's San Francisco.
What? Yeah. No, San Francisco's cold.
No, San Francisco has one temperature.
Yes. It's just in the right position where its temperature doesn't vary that much.
I mean, then the fog comes in. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't get much snow in San Francisco. Granted, I've never lived there. I just visited there once. But that's what I would expect from them. Because us, we have pretty varying weather patterns throughout the seasons. And I've been to L.A. It is hot as hell in L.A. So even going further, like closer to the equator with San Diego, oh, that's got
to
be
miserable. See, I've been to San Diego before, and it's like I was freezing. It was really cold. So
when did you go?
December.
In December. Where were you going from? Like, comparatively, where were you traveling from to San Diego?
Seattle to San Diego.
And it was still, was it colder in San Diego?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember what it was like. But I remember it being cold, because I had to wear, like, I went for a cheer thing, and it was outdoor at one of the stadiums. And I was, like, hot chocolate and, like, all bundled up in sweatshirts and sweatpants and... Yeah.
I think we're also forgetting one aspect, is that when it's December, it's just cold everywhere. So we're going to
go. Well, in the northern hemisphere.
Yes, in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, in the northern, yes, yes. For all our Australian fans yelling about my inaccuracies.
Actually, we do have family now that's right on the equator.
The northern hemisphere is your fucking wanker. No, that's British. No, that's Australia. Yeah.
Yeah, we do have family at the equator who listens to this now, so...
Yeah.
But since we're here and we've got Ryan back, you don't have to listen to me talk about recipe. Ryan, how was your trip and how was your recipe?
Wait, what do you want first? The trip I took last week or the recipe?
Do the recipe first.
All right, the recipe went fine. I was hungry, so I ate it all, but it made a lot. And so I also forgot to make the picture.
Yeah, what did you make?
I made that beef stew thing.
Oh. It's a recipe... that my family makes. It feeds the four of us for 2 or 3 days.
And you ate it all, Newman?
I was hungry.
You must have been. Did you not eat well prior, or were you working out, or?
No, I just came back from the gym.
Well,
so you working out?
Yeah. Yeah, I was working out. Yeah.
How did you? Oh my gosh! How did
my
you
mom just started laughing, Ryan? She didn't say anything. Just started laughing. Yeah, did you like? Obviously, you liked it. You ate
it. I ate a lot. I was good for like the next. Well, I still ate the next night, but.
And then yeah, how was your trip? Because you weren't. I think you were the one not here last week.
Yeah, I was gone last week. It was good. It's always nice going up Portland, seeing my friends, especially having no friends down here. It was cold. Surprisingly, it was pouring down rain. Actually, the weather swapped. When I left here on Thursday, it was pouring. And I was an idiot. I'm like, oh, it's Southern California. It never rains here. And when it does rain, it's like a light drizzle. It was pouring. But it was still like 70 degrees, so it wasn't that bad. But yeah, and then I go up to Portland, and it's hot there. It was like 80 last weekend, and it was pouring down here all weekend.
No, you brought the rain up here with you.
Oh, maybe I did.
Yeah, it was the other way around. You came up here.
I came back here. Nice. It was raining.
The least exciting horror movie of all time. The rain, it followed you!
It was awesome. We're finally back in fall. I mean, it's sunny today, which is ungodly, but most of the rest of the week we've had nice fall weather. All which right, is scary up here in North Bend with the wind.
Before we change topics into something, you know, that's not, you know, the weather, because that's weird that we're talking about it on a podcast. Ryan, have you seen the Tremors movies?
I have not. I'm not a huge fan of scary movies, like, in general.
Damn it. Not even if they have Kevin Bacon? I'm trying to get a point across here that no
one's seen. I think I've seen, like, part of the first one, and then I just got bored.
I don't know who Kevin Bacon is.
You mm-hmm. totally know who Kevin Bacon is.
He's in the dog commercial. Bacon.
What?
No, that is not Kevin Bacon.
That's just a dude named Kevin saying bacon.
The dog commercial where he's talking about bacon. They're just talking about bacon.
Oh, it's that guy.
Not all bacon is related back to the actor Kevin Bacon.
No,
they're just talking about bacon bits for dogs.
Maybe that's part of his contract, Doc. You don't know.
No, isn't he in it? He's in one of the commercials. And it, then
I mean, you said the dog commercial.
You're thinking of Jerry Bacon, the creator of bacon.
No! Kevin Bacon is in a commercial that they talk about bacon. Maybe it's about the Wake Up to Eggs with Bacon. Sorry, I just used it.
Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Let's shift it over to something.
Okay, next. Bring back your evidence next week.
So our two big topics we have marked down here were making friends in a new city, mm-hmm. or Ryan wanted to rant about people getting caught in Facebook hoaxes on Facebook.
Oh,
Oh, that
thing. I'm okay with either one of those.
Which one do we want to do first?
I veto Facebook hoax.
You veto? Okay. Yeah.
Veto or vote?
Veto. No.
Okay. All right.
She fell for it. Actually, her boyfriend fell for it.
Yeah. But I didn't.
And my dad fell for it.
Yeah!
All right, so yeah. Let's talk about making friends in a new city without school.
Well, then I'm outie.
Yeah, Lewis is completely pointless in this conversation.
We'll go back and talk about school, too, in a second. But school makes it way easier than being in a new city without being in school. Yeah. You, Alyssa, how many classes do you have, Alyssa?
Five, sorry. I was thinking.
Podcast, not...
No, I'm trying to think about how many classes I have.
And you have how many kids in each class?
Depends on the class. I have from 200 to...
Jesus.
It's a normal university.
To, like, 80.
Okay, so, taking an average of, or not an average, just bullshit number somewhere in about 100, you see a roughly 500 kids a day who are this roughly the same age as you, and they're all...
But nobody talks to each other unless they know each other.
That gets better as you get out of freshman year.
I'm not in freshman year.
No, it doesn't.
It does in my schools.
It does, Sonny.
It doesn't. It depends on the majors, though. Like, yeah, some majors are antisocial.
That's fair.
Once you get into your actual major classes, it's probably a little bit easier. But it's because I'm in sophomore-level classes, so
everyone already has
friend groups because they're sophomores or freshmen who are scared.
You're in a peer group that you're in contact with all the time.
Okay.
Whether you actually talk to them like I didn't do most of my time in university. So that was what I noticed when I got out of school and moved to Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden moved away from all of my friends, like Ryan just did. Was, shit, how do you make friends? And I still haven't
figured it out.
Meetup.com does actually work, but you do have to go to the meetups. Ryan.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah.
And not sleep through them.
Their app is a piece of shit, but that's a different problem.
They push notifications for me.
I never get them.
But,
I do.
So, other thoughts?
I have also seen this side because last year I was in school, but my program was so small. I was in culinary school, and I only had, like, 8 people in my class. That's all the amount of people that I would interact with. And all my friends left for school, and I was in a new town because we had just moved. And I was like, I can't go to bars to meet people. I can't, like, do the 21 thing. So I didn't figure out. I mean, I worked. That's, like, probably one of the keys, but... a lot of the people that I worked with were way older than me, so then I couldn't hang out with them if they did the 21 or older thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have both sides to the story, and
I've got a question for Doc and Seneca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you guys ever actually made friends with people you work with? Because I've never done it.
I have, yes.
I have.
Especially at a retail store, because I worked at the Microsoft store some time back. And working with those people at a retail store in that kind of environment led to me like becoming friends with quite a few of these people, one of which I see on a regular basis now. A couple others I see on semi-regular basis and things like that. So, yes, in that case it did, but in jobs I had before that, not at all.
Actually,
just because with the Microsoft store, they at least expressed a heavy focus on teamwork and being a team, which actually allowed us to focus on like getting everyone to know each other better and finding out that a lot of us are all the same age and have the same interests, so we're always talking about the same stuff, which then it's like, oh, you want to meet up for drinks after work? So then we got a group of people going out having drinks, and then when things are getting a little more, outside of work conversations and starting to, like, we can swear and stuff now, and we're drinking, and we get to make all these weird jokes, and that's where we start becoming friends. So the key to making friends while at a job is to not only find a group of people that you have common interests with, but also, like, once you get off work at the same time, hang out with them a little bit. Go grab food. Go get a drink. Just hang out. Grab coffee. As long as you're socializing with people, that's how you make them a better friend and hanging out with them outside of work.
Yeah.
I lied. I made friends with one friend from work, and it was one of our city of Redmond. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Tasia.
See, I made friends with the interns last summer.
God, you're loud.
I am?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay. He is to me.
Yeah, but like last summer there was 13 interns at an insurance company, and we were all same age, and the insurance company, everyone was mostly older, so at lunch, we'd all go down, and we all just sit with each other. We'd do the thing where, we'd go out for drinks or food, or we'd go out to lunch. And I made friends with them. I was actually invited out with them a couple of times, on the weekends. Hey, we're going to this party at UW. Do you want to come? But I was always busy.
Mm-hmm. So the key is to make the extra effort outside of work to get out. And that's something I did do at my work, but that was partially because a lot of them wanted to go out for drinks, and I'm too young.
The one time I worked retail was awesome. It was in Calgary. The people were awesome because it was at a bookstore, so everybody's super nerdy and completely dorky. And but it was all girls, and so everybody was like, bye, and just left right away, right after work, kind of scattered. And because there were so many introverted people, you could never get anybody to go do anything afterward. Mm-hmm. And then I work with a lot of old people because I worked with the bank.
See, my new problem is that I don't really have coworkers. The only coworker I have is my boss. And he's cool, but he's in his 40s. Yeah. And he has a family and kids and stuff.
Yeah. And that's, this is actually why I was kind of surprised when you asked me, Alexander, have you ever made friends from work? Because I'm sitting here going, well, let's see, where have I worked? Because most of my work, right now, I go to client housing for my work where I actually make money. And even for most of my volunteer work, I'm working with clients specifically. I'm not really interacting with my people other than, is my paperwork in order? Did I do what I need to do within the volunteer work itself? Just because it's very client-centric and, at work I'm dealing with individuals who have developmental disorders. I'm working with specific clients and their families on those. At all my volunteer work, I used to work with grief facilitation, and now I'm working with individuals who have experienced domestic abuse or sexual assault, and I'm providing services for them. So all of my emotional energy when I'm there goes towards those people specifically. And so, I've made friends from my volunteer work, but it was very much, I had to put the extra mile, or it was we had to do a certain amount of hours and a certain amount of shifts, and I would be there's this event thing that we're doing for, public funding or whatever. We did a beer tasting, I believe, at one of the local events for our treehouse, the grief facilitation that I did, going to stuff like that and being like, yes, I will help out extra, creates those contacts if you can't necessarily go out with them. But, yeah, it also depends on the job because, in my current job where I'm getting paid money, I can't really make friends with anybody.
Well, yeah, and I work as a nanny now. I don't see
You can make friends with children.
Hey, cool. When I was a nanny, I made friends with all the parents.
If the classic Ernest movies taught me anything, is that you can be a fully grown adult and friends with children.
But there's I can be friendly with said child, but also because of, the rules in my contract of you do certain things for confidentiality's sake. So, if I saw a client in public, I could not be like, oh, hi, so-and-so. I'd have to kind of, if they come up to me, then I can interact with them, but it's very different
than being a nanny.
Yeah, because I do also help out with a local family, and I'm their mother's helper is what we call it, and the mom does Mary Kay, and she's been like, oh, you should come to Mary Kay events, and you should go to this event, because this is awesome, and I'll be there, and we should hang out, and that's totally fine, because it's different. I don't have to be confidential about it, because there's nothing confidential that I'm working on with them, really. I'm just helping out around the house right now. It's different, though.
Yeah, I mean, it is the big question, and it was a big question when I was in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And I started going to a writer's group and started to get to know a bunch of writers, because like that seems like a really safe bet in terms of if you want to get to know people who are crazy and sarcastic and mm-hmm. totally not going to take offense to everything you say,
yeah.
especially in Canada as an American. You got to be careful because older Canadians,
yeah.
Older Canadians, most of the Canadians I know who are our age,
mm-hmm.
no problem. But I mortified like two or three older Canadians just by being too brash and too loud.
Oh, that is one other thing, though. Like, if you do live in a city or even just a town, like, Facebook can definitely be your friend because, like, there are... I really like board games. And so there's, like, I believe three different board game groups in my area.
So that, we are spoiled.
Yeah.
In board games. Because I was living in Calgary, and I go to the board game night at one of the biggest mm-hmm. board game stores in North America. There's about 10 people, 7 or 8 of them are there with their friends to play games with their friends.
Yeah, and that is an issue with most, like, any group, really, that you go to and are like, I'm going to make friends here, and it's activities. Like, people are kind of going to be paired off, but especially, like, if you just sit down and, like, talk, even if you just watch a board game and be like, hey, do you mind if I watch? You know, this looks like an interesting game. You can make acquaintances, and if you put in that extra effort, like, no, it might not always work, and that's, I think, a really important thing to remember, too, of just, it's not always going to work. Like, not everybody's going to want to be your friend. Like, that's, unfortunately, just the way
that it works. I thought everybody was supposed to be my friend.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I'm awesome.
Seriously. Newman and I are just like, what?
I have no enemies in my life other than maybe Alex Peretta.
You know, I try every few days to kill you.
You didn't say it right, Doc.
I'm the Bowser of Alex's life, where it's like, we're enemies everywhere we go, but he still invites me go-karting.
Right. Why would you do that?
Yeah. Well, by not wanting to be your friend, I might mean, like, they don't have the time to hang out with you, or they may feel uncomfortable if it's a significant age gap, or, like, you know, a variety of reasons why it may not work out, or... Sometimes, you know, there are just people who are a little shy and they don't feel comfortable making new friends, and that's how it is, and you got to respect that to a certain degree.
But we are also, all of us are on the West Coast. Well, Alyssa doesn't count. She's in North Dakota. North Dakota. But we're all spoiled when it comes to going to a board game thing, because I've never been into a board game store on their Monday night board gaming or whatever. Their Magic Night doesn't count. Mm-hmm. Everybody's there for magic.
Yeah.
But I've never been into a board game store on a game night where there wasn't at least three or four people who were like, ah, shit, we just started, but come over here, we'll start over.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be board games, because, like, there's a knitting store in my town that does, like, they do educational knit nights, which, you know, maybe not my speed necessarily, but, like, well, I'm sorry, I can't, I've tried to learn how to knit, I can't do it. I
knit. I never finish anything.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'll start things, and I can't...
Nope, never finish.
I'll start scarves.
I have a ton of half scarves.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, you can... Like, if you're passionate about something, you can usually find a Facebook group that's like, hey, we meet up every... however often they meet up. Or, like, if there's a local... Which is the example with knitting of, like, if there's a local store that would supply you with knit gear, you can be like, hey, do you guys have maybe... a night that you guys teach new stuff, which is a good way to meet people because learning things together helps, you know, that's the school thing. But there's options.
I actually did that when I moved down here. The first thing I did was like, all right, let's find Sounders fans here in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, hey, we're going to this bar. And that's actually like the one guy I would consider like a friend here, kind of, is mm-hmm. He's a leader of the San Diego's like Sounders supporters, so we just go out to the bar and then we come back or we drink there for a while, watch the game, and then people go off. And then a couple weeks ago, I actually came back downtown with a guy that lives up the street from me. We went out for more drinks afterwards.
And that's the other thing, and this is kind of part of that growing up. Hanging out with people now is really different than hanging out with people.
Yes.
Like, as we were growing up, or just, in my case, in, like, 30 minutes, I'm going to, well, probably even 10 minutes, I'm going to have people start showing up, and we're going to, it's all my old friend, you know, my old friends who are in the area now, and we're going to be playing D&D. Well, Dragon Age RPG. You know, and that's us hanging out at a person's house every week. That's what we grew up doing, and now it's things like, hey, do you have time to go to lunch real quick? maybe we'll squeeze it between two other things we've all running around doing.
Now, Alex, you can get mad at me for doing this, but I'll talk about school meeting friends because, yes, it is easier because you are surrounded by your peers, but people can be very introverted or not make – you have to make the effort. Like, I had it – I'd made, like, a group of three girls because they were on my floor and I'd always see them, but I made the effort to, like, sit out in the lounge with them and get to know them. They just wouldn't magically become my friends, but – and then I was really struggling to find connections with, like, females, like, a group of females. Because, like, in photography, it's a lot of the guys. In broadcasting, it's a lot of the guys. And so I joined a sorority. And I went from having a group of, like, three people that I could, like, say, hey, do you want to go to the mall? Or, hey, let's get food.
Mm-hmm. They have malls in North Dakota?
Yeah, it's huge.
They have a mall.
It's huge.
Yeah, believe it or not, they do have malls for their entire population of 24 people.
Hi, I'm in Fargo. It's, like, not... Anyway, I joined a sorority, and now I have a group of, like, 80 women plus Panhellenic sisters that I can go to if I need anything. One of them I found out is in my dorm. She's becoming, one of my best friends. We do a lot together. I can just go to the house and meet people, and I still don't know everybody in my sorority, and I'm not going to know everybody in my sorority, but, like, even if you... Like, I'm going to events in my sorority, so you still have to make the effort, but it's like you have to find something, a group or a club or something that you share a common interest in. But I highly recommend joining a sorority for any of you college people out there because you really make a really wide network of people, and then I found out the cheerleading coach here is at Kappa Delta because my sweet mate's a cheerleader, and she was told to tell me that, and then you make a instant connection because you're sisters, and it was cool because a lot of our alums were here over homecoming, and it's just you're so bonded, and also it gets you involved in the school. I was in the homecoming parade. Oh yeah, I forgot to say that. I was in the homecoming parade, which was super cool, down Main, well, actually, it's Broadway, which is kind of like our main street, even though we have a main street. But you get involved, and I didn't have anybody to go to football games with for a while. And then now I have a bunch of people who are like, come with me. And so it's really nice. Get involved.
See, I want to argue about this virtue, but then I just realized that I'm just a cynical asshole who looks down on a majority of my peers because I'm an asshole.
I also wanted to go back to what you're talking about of how we maintain friendships today, because based on what you talk about, that's actually very similar to how I do it as well, because I'm a workaholic, I'm always busy, and I'm always occupied doing all sorts of different things, that the way I maintain my friendships, it's not that I hang out with people on a daily basis like I used to in my early college years or even the high school years or anything like that. I now have this select group of people where it's like, oh, these are the people that are super special to me, and I know I don't see them very often, so what we do is we try and set up a day at least once a month where we spend an evening together and we catch up on everything that's happened through the month and do all that. One of my friends, Anna, we'll drive out, we'll have movie nights, we'll watch some awesome movie, have dinner, and just catch up on, like, what's going on and how are we doing? Do we think we're achieving everything that we want to do? Or my buddy Jordan, where it's like, he's into music, so we even just go down these music tangents, and he inspires me very creatively. And it's all these important people that you keep in your life that you was like, you know what, I really need to make time for this person because they are special to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been doing that with my friends back in Oregon. Granted, I can't organize like a night once a month or anything to go up and see them, but I get phone calls almost a couple times a week just talking, where they're like, hey, what's up, bud? It's like, because I stay up all night. I don't sleep ever. So, like, he gets off work at 12. He's a dishwasher, so he gets off work at 12, and he gets home, and everyone's asleep, so he'll just, like, give me a call, and, like, he'll play video games, and I'll, like, be on the internet or something. And we'll just, like, talk. And actually, a couple nights ago, I was doing that with him, and then one of his roommates, another one of my fraternity brothers, came back into the house, and they're talking to my friend I was talking to, like, and say, hey, I'll let you go. I'll talk to you later. I'm like, all right, bye. And then, like, 30 seconds later, I get a call from the other guy that came back. He was like, hey, asshole, I didn't get to say bye to you. Bye. And then he just hangs up. But, yeah.
I just want to say another advice in meeting people is for people out there who are just starting college, don't work a ton. I mean, it's good to work because everybody needs money, but
No, you don't.
I like having money, that's for sure. But I immediately got a job, and it's my first semester in, like, at a university. And I also have two other jobs doing kind of commission work as a photographer, and then abroad. I do can't run cameras for a broadcast.
Oh, like you.
But I actually was overwhelmed, and I realized I kept having to say, no, I can't go to the mall with you because I have to work, or no, I can't go to lunch because I'm at work or something. So I actually put my 2 weeks in for my job at the coffee shop, and I'm actually really excited because I now will have more free time in my life to maybe focus on some other things that were more career-orientated, maybe a couple hours volunteering at, like, there's a PR firm around here, something just a lot smaller, less responsibility, but also something I enjoy, because I did not like
that. And I will say, if you really don't want to go outside and meet people, or if you're like me and I was like, well, I'm doing my Saturday thing, but the board game scene up here sucks when I was in Calgary, and I don't go drink, like, I don't drink, so I'm not going to go to a bar, there's always World of Warcraft. And I got back into WoW while I was up there playing, and really, it was awesome, because I was like, hey, I'm actually communicating with a guild. And so I can no longer say I've been clean for a year. I've only been clean for about 8 months. But, you know, there's those, like, online friendships are not in any way less valid than in-person friendships. Although I have to say, it is nice to be like, hey, do you want to go try out this new food place so that if we both get food poisoning, you know, we know what happened. We can suffer together. You know, as opposed to people who are all over the bloody country and most people on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's also, like, it's... it doesn't matter where your friends are. It matters if you guys are friends and if you're there for each other. Because, like, my friend who had the dog issue, you know, she was in Japan for a year. And what we could do for that year was Skype dates. Mm-hmm. And when we had Skype dates, I'm not going to lie, like, originally we planned for, like, an hour or two, and they usually ended up being, like, 4 or 5 hours of just talking because they were so infrequent. But, like, when she got back here, she's living a couple, like, a big enough drive where when she comes to see me, it's like, I am clearing my schedule for you because I do not get to see you that much. And, you know, like, her, with the pet issue, you know, she texted me Thursday. She came up Friday afternoon. Like, I had next to no time to clear anything and just kind of went, you know what, like, I'm going to clear my schedule for you because this is important to me. And I had to say multiple times of, like, if you need to come up, like, you are welcome. I have a futon. It's right there. Like, you're good.
Yeah, that's the insight, too. Like, it's how do you define a friend, right? Because we've got the friends, like, Ryan, you know, You were complaining that you're like, I don't have anywhere to go if I had to move back to Seattle area. My mom's like, you can live with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, your family with us, or Seneca even, or even Doc, really. You guys are all family and, you know, all that.
Yeah, what about me?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about Alyssa?
She's far away. She's not in Seattle.
But, you know, like, so there's a difference between that, and that's actually the problem I've noticed now, living back home, is I hang out with the same group of friends I've been hanging out with since high school. And now I'm not going to do things like out. I'm not forced to try to make friends.
Yeah.
And part of that, you know, it's helping. School's helping. Being in school for this quarter and taking ballroom lessons is helping because I'm, you know, ballroom is almost entirely old people in some weird way everywhere I've been. But all the ballroom dances are about my age now. You know, like all the teachers are roughly within my age range, so getting to know them. Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's a weird quirk of if moving back home, you can get stuck in the trap of talking just to your normal friends over and over again. Mm-hmm. And then there's people I don't see in person ever, like Doc. Despite the fact that he lives maybe 20 minutes away from me.
I am the closest to you out of this group of people, and we've never seen you.
And I've got a lot of those friends, too, and a lot of those friends I see once a year at PAX. Despite the fact that we all live within 30 minutes of each other, we never see each other.
I have a couple of friends like that, well, back home now, but it was, it's nice though, because
you didn't have friends here. Don't lie.
Hey, I do.
Good comeback.
I do.
That's Sydney. The hype is just Ariel.
President, we're just like, I want to lower the budget. No, you don't.
Shut up. I'm done.
It's no, okay. See, Alyssa, what you do is you don't give them the response. I've learned over the years.
The response. No,
really
don't.
Should. I've only been around them my entire life. Like.
I had to learn that really quick because I got picked up.
I know, it's no fun. I love it when she gives.
Oh, that's another big thing, by the way. I am getting better about being picked up because I am very scared of heights. So like, a friend will pick me up when they hug me, and I will like turn to stone and start to like scream or be like, "Let me down," because I just
move.
I can walk out like on a freaking cliff and be like, "I'm fine," because I'm standing and I'm using my own 2 feet. I'm good. And then somebody picks me up, and I'm like, I'm not in control. What do I do?
People don't try to
pick me up. Dude, me too. I hate it. I've got really good about, like somehow just pulling myself to the floor and, like, gravity.
Yeah, the rock formation of, like, just put me down.
Like, no, and I make it impossible for somebody to pick me up. I feel ya.
People don't try to pick me up.
But, so... I've started to get more comfortable with it, and ironically it's a friend of my boyfriend who, he sometimes forgets that I don't like to be picked up, and he'll come over and be like, Seneca! And he'll bear hug me, and then he'll pick me up, and I'm kind of like, but then I have that moment of like, no, it's okay, like, he won't drop me.
Yeah.
So I'm getting better, but I just remembered that, because I haven't been in the podcast for a while.
Oh, it's
I
good.
Felt the need to update you guys on that.
We're more or less done.
And that's the wrap!
I mean, we could keep going, but let's end on Seneca being afraid of being picked up.
Alyssa.
As per normal, and Alyssa, yeah. Is there anywhere you want the people to find you, Run?
You can check out my photography website, because I have a website.
What is it?
AlyssaP.com, A-L-Y-S-S-A, the letter P.com. Check it out. I think you can, like, buy me a coffee, which would be super rad. Except there's, like, no Starbucks anywhere near me right now, and it's crazy. But, yeah.
White girl problems.
Seriously. I just want a pumpkin spice latte.
Moving on. Doc?
Yes. Follow me at Doc Von Derwin. I actually just started a Twitch account, thanks to Joey from our previous episode. So I'm D-Pad Derwin on Twitch. So check out my streams and my videos, and hopefully we'll upload them to the site as well. And, check out the content that I'm going to be posting to the site. People seem to like the lifting article that I posted recently, so check that out.
Cool. Ryan?
Hit me up on Google+, at Ryan Newman.
What's that?
Google Plus? People use that?
I don't know. Let's get it going.
Let's get it going. I don't think we're going to be the ones who can see the hand.
I just started Twitch and you come at us
with Twitter is Numinator29. Facebook, I'm more of a lurker on Facebook, so if you can, maybe not. Right. Don't do that.
No, don't.
Good luck finding me. You can't even Google my name. Just search Ryan Newman. There's a race car driver and there's an actress. So I'm
doing it.
Actress?
Actress.
Huh. All right, Sunny?
No.
Nowhere?
She's an American actress, singer, and model.
Told you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we need to get you on Twitter, Seneca. That's what
we're doing. No! I don't want to be on Twitter.
You need more social network distractions.
Why do I? No. Oh, God, no.
And you can find me on Twitter at Redbeard. You can find me on Facebook under my writer page, Alexander Padeta. I'm actually getting views on that page, which makes me feel guilty because I don't use that page very often anymore.
I didn't know you had one.
And then my family doesn't know I have one. You can find us at Podcast Lost in Space on Facebook. You can find us at podcastlostinspace.com. We're Pliss Official on Twitter and on Twitch, which we should actually start using, by which I mean I should probably start streaming on Twitch Saturday mornings instead of sitting in my underwear staring at my computer screen.
Hey, I do that. all the time.
I mean, maybe when I stream, I'll still be in my underwear. You won't know. yeah, and then, because apparently Ryan didn't understand this, if you want to hear the wonderful music that we've got, or see our beautiful clip art, you usually can find it on the audio version. I haven't figured out how to add it to the YouTube video on demand version yet. But, as usual, a special thanks to Peter Scott for the music, and Matthew Yeager for his graphics, because they're awesome and amazeballs.
Follow him at the Seattle One.
Yes, and follow him at
Matthew Yeager. And I believe it's myyeagerdesign.com.
It is, according to my notes that I have here. And you can find Peter Scott at soundcloud.com/PeterScott-3. Hopefully next week we're going to hear at least from one of them. I know one of them wanted to join us. But also, cool. By next week, we should have a second podcast going up, which is going to be our game-focused podcast.
Woo!
So that we don't infect this podcast with all of our two-hour-long, you know, we could just wax nostalgic on one game for 2 or 3 hours if we're not careful. We're going to create somewhere else for us to infect it. That doesn't have a name yet. I'm going with the Untitled Podcast Lost in Space. Because I'm bored, and that's the first thing I thought of. But hopefully by next week it'll have a name, and that'll go up. That one won't be live-streamed, but you'll find it on pod. You know, we'll talk about it. We'll push it all over the Twitters and the Facebooks and everything else. Thanks for watching, though. Bye.
Bye. Bye.